It's called submetering. Now an Ohio Supreme Court ruling is calling for regulations on companies that resell electricity to tenants in multifamily residential developments. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to explain the ruling and what it could mean for renters across Ohio are Ohio's Consumers Council and Agency Director Maureen Willis, Witt Sturdivant LLP Managing Partner Mark Witt, and Bloom Advisory Partners co-owner and regulatory and policy lead Teresa Ringenbach. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Mark, explain, what is submetering and how is it used? I have to confess, I had never heard of it until I heard about the Supreme Court ruling.
Well, I think the court explained it pretty succinctly. It's simply the practice of buying public utility service from a regulated public utility and reselling it to tenants and basically performing all of the functions a traditional public utility performs, such as issuing the bill, collecting the money, and if necessary, shutting tenants off for non-payment.
And so is this typically for tenants whose rent and utilities are kind of bundled all in one, Mark?
Actually, it's not.
Okay.
Frequently, tenants don't realize when they move into a complex who the utility provider is. Most people in Cincinnati, for example, associate Duke as the electricity provider, and it's not something people are thinking about when they're shopping for an apartment. They know that or have some vague conception that there is some regulated utility, that somebody is watching over them. I don't have a choice, but somebody's regulating them, and I will receive a bill from whoever that entity is. And much to the surprise of many tenants, when they move into submetered properties, they don't understand that actually somebody else will be performing the function that an entity like Duke would otherwise perform.
And Mark, you owned a condo that was submetered, as I understand it. What did that mean for your utility costs?
I've actually owned two separate submetered condos. And the first one, back in 2014, I was receiving electric bills in the winter of over $400, close to $500.
Per month.
And I lived alone and was gone most of the time at our Chicago office, which actually ultimately resulted in me personally filing a complaint at the Public Utilities Commission. And rather than deal with my complaint, the PUCO initiated what it called a rulemaking proceeding to receive comments from interested stakeholders on this, what was perceived to be a new business model and how it ought to be handled. And ironically, many of the Supreme Court's observations in its most recent case were communicated to the PUCO back in 2014, explaining why these contractual arrangements and labels didn't really control the regulation. But that did not land with the PUCO. My daughter has also, until very recently, was also a submetered customer. She lived about 3 miles down the street from me. Her apartment was one-third the size of my condominium, but her electric bills were routinely twice as much.
Wow.
And this phenomenon was prevalent throughout the areas where submetered service is provided. The sort of stock answer from the submetering providers is, well, we just charge what the public utility would charge, and this is what your meter said, and this is what you owe.
Well, Maureen, what's the impact of submetering on Ohio renters overall, or I guess condo owners like Mark's experience?
I think Mark described it pretty well. What we see is that these residents in these multi-unit dwellings, they're paying more for their electricity. And at the same time, they're not getting the protections that someone who's being served directly from someone like AEP or Duke is getting. Public utilities in Ohio are highly regulated. There's regulations, there's rules, There's rules about pricing and what you can charge customers. There's rules about disconnection. There's rules about billing arrangements and financial assistance. None of those rules and regulations apply to the submeterer. The submeterer, as Mark described it, is a middleman. They buy the electricity from the utility, but then they resell it to the apartment residents. And so, as Mark described, they are acting as a public utility. They're choosing the supply, the customer supply. They're setting sending the bills to tenants. They're disconnecting. They're doing all the things that a public utility would do, but yet they're not complying with the rules, regulations, and laws that Ohio has that protect utility consumers.
Maureen, how can a tenant figure out who they're getting their electricity from? Do they get a bill from the submetering company like they would from Duke around here in Cincinnati?
That's what certainly the tenants do get a bill. And the bill, however, the format of the bill is not regulated. So they might get a bill that is really hard to read and hard to understand that it's not from your public utility. Public utilities, on the other hand, have their bill format very strictly regulated. There's information that needs to be provided. There's information about the Consumers Council and how you could contact the Consumers Council if you have questions on your bill. Those are the kind of requirements that the public utility like Duke and AEP have to comply with. But these middlemen, until the Supreme Court ruling, have not had to comply with those. So you might get a bill and you might not really understand the bill, and you might not even know who to call about that bill, because it's not a public utility. The middlemen, when you have a complaint or you have a question, you can't call the PUCO. They don't regulate, or up to this point, they have not regulated it. So that's another problem. Where do you go if you have questions on your bill? So again, the problem being not only the price issue that Mark mentioned, but the fact that there's not these rules, regulations, and protections that go to a consumer who's directly served by a utility like Duke or AEP.
Teresa, I want to turn to you. We did invite Nationwide Energy Partners, or NEP, to be part of the conversation. NEP is a submetering company, and the company declined to be on the show, but suggested we talk with you. What's your response to these concerns about submetering that Mark and Maureen have been talking about?
Yes, thank you for having me. They recommended you speak with me because I've been in the energy space in Ohio, specifically on the competitive side, for over 25 years. I did work directly for NEP for 5 years, and I have been working very diligently with our state house and our elected officials to pass House Bill 173, which addresses everything that Mark and Maureen have said. So I'll give you sort of my history with submetering. On the NEP side, it is not as simple as just submitting a bill. They actually, prior to the PUCO ever having a bill cap, which the Supreme Court opinion has now sort of obliterated for renters who are submetered, they've always held themselves to that total bill cap. Maureen and
Mark.
Mr. Witt, mm-hmm. Mark.
Yeah.
Have referenced higher bills. I would like to make sure that everybody knows that even with the Supreme Court opinion, every utility as well as the PUCO have a bill calculator where you can take your kilowatt hour usage and plug it in and see if your bill is accurate. NEP also, because of where they operate, the master meter is a commercial account now that's billed on demand, which means when you use as a renter, and by bringing down when you use, it also brings down a value for the master meter. So it creates this symbiotic relationship where, at least for NEP service communities, and I know for some of the other submetering companies, they do this too, encouraging renters to use less actually lowers their bill. And anybody who was in an NEP service community this winter, you are probably familiar with the fact that you were being pushed a lot of information on cold days, because heat pumps are the electrification code for multifamily across the state of Ohio. The problem with that is they are all set to a 34-degree outside air temp, which means when you're outside air is below 34 degrees, you move into what's called an aux mode or electric resistance mode. 6 days at 25 degrees using a heat pump can increase your electric bill by 40%. So in turn, that's why NEP and others offer this additional value. I'm not going to argue with Maureen and Mark about the fact that there is submetering across the state and nobody knows everywhere that it's happening or who's doing what. I think the Supreme Court opinion was very specific to NEP and the PUCO's ability to regulate NEP as an electric light company. It even went so far as to say that because landlords may fall outside of PUCO's jurisdiction, NEP does not, which raises the question of how far can the PUCO go to regulate this industry, given that court's order. So from my personal perspective and my perspective working with the industry, House Bill 173 is what we need. We need a statute that says the entire industry is regulated. We need a statute that says there's a bill cap for everybody. To Maureen's point, House Bill 173 creates transparency in the bill. It says each line item is a distinct line item. That includes pet fees for those out there who aren't sure where your pet fees are sitting. It also says that you have to post the kilowatt hour read from your meter so that it can be verified. You can go to the PUCO staff. They can verify that with you. And those bill calculators that I mentioned, they're currently just by an administrative order, which can be done away with at any point. 173 puts that into statute, so they're always there for renters to be able to check their bills.
We're talking about submetering, a recent Ohio Supreme Court ruling, and how renters across Ohio could be affected. If you've got questions or comments, give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Teresa, you were just talking about the value that NEP adds for customers. What value are you talking about there? I'm afraid I don't understand. Is it the advice to, you know, lower your heat so that your heat pump doesn't go crazy and you don't end up with such a big bill? What's the added benefit there?
Yes. So for the resident who doesn't own their home and can't change out to efficient appliances or other technologies, NEP and the property owner will reinvest some of the money that they make into those technologies. The perfect example is we do things with thermostats and water heaters today to help you lower your usage. It's consented to in the lease. There's actually an actual separate lease addendum for that. By doing that, you lower the total amount that you use. And because you're actually metered still, you can actually see that reduction on your bill. For the properties, there's a very different level. So we do what are called maintenance insights. We can actually see if there's a leak in your apartment, especially toilet leaks are very common. Most renters don't understand if your toilet is running and kicking on and off, it's increasing your water bill. So one of the things that NEP will do is they can identify that there's a leak. They will tell the property will fix it. When it's fixed, we will identify a credit back to the renter and recharge that back to the property, because you as a resident should not pay for the failure of your property maintenance. We are just kicking off this year. I helped the company build a business unit that will do predictive maintenance on HVAC systems, and their water heaters will be expanded into this category too. What we found is for renters, a lot of times things break in ways that increase their bill. Your air conditioning compressor unit is failing. That actually is using more energy and nobody sees it till it fully breaks. So now not only do you have a high electric bill, but you're really hot because your air conditioning is broken.
Okay. I'm going to stop you there, Teresa, because that's a lot of stuff.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark, how is all that different from what utilities themselves provide? And what are your thoughts about this ruling and Teresa's concerns about it?
Well, there's nothing that NEP does or anything that Teresa has talked about that the utilities don't already do or aren't capable of doing. For example, in the energy efficiency space, Utilities historically have had at various times different rebate programs. For example, $150 for a thermostat, Wi-Fi thermostat, or certain dollars credited if you purchase new appliances. That benefit is available to you as a public utility customer, and it's funded through the rates that you pay as a customer. In submetered communities, the situation ends up being where you are paying a what is called the host utility, Duke or AEP. You're paying a rate that includes benefits for these thermostats, appliances, and other things, but you don't receive that benefit. That was one of the issues actually that I raised in my personal complaint back in 2014. At that time, it was a new condominium. I had purchased new appliances, thermostats, everything else. I lost out on about $550 in rebates simply because I was an NEP customer. Even though I was paying rates that funded those very programs that I could not avail myself of. And in terms of House Bill 173, the fact that it is being promoted by the submetering industry is the first indication that we need to pay attention to what it actually does. What it does is create an entirely new category of public utility that isn't subject to the same standards and regulations as every other public utility in the state. That legislation was developed preemptively in anticipation of the Ohio Supreme Court decision, and really is the lifeline that the industry is relying on now to remain viable in the state. Given the court's ruling, every day that they operate, they are now operating in violation of Ohio law. In particular, the law that creates certified service territories for electric utilities, exclusive service territories that each utility has the exclusive right and obligation to serve. NDP, other submetering firms, don't have those territories. They are rendering service in violation of AEP, Duke, wherever else they're providing the service. And that is a big problem for them.
Maureen, what are your thoughts about House Bill 173? Your agency supported that bill before the court's ruling, didn't it?
We did. And Lucy, at that point in time, there was no protection whatsoever for consumers. And so our view was that HB 173 would put into effect some consumer protections where there were none. Now that the Supreme Court has come down with its definite ruling and has said NEP is a public utility, anything less in defining, and we consider HB 173 now less, it's light regulation, it's not full utility regulation, that legislation is now not needed. The Supreme Court has spoken, they were very clear, you're a public utility. As a public utility, you will comply with the commission's rules, laws, and regulation. So no need for 173 anymore. We don't need a second set of regulations. We've got existing regulations. The PUCO can impose those regulations, rules, and laws. So 173 is really not needed. And again, 173 is light, what I would consider light regulation. Residents under 173 would not be able to, the difference between full regulation as a public utility and the type of regulation under 173, number of important consumer protections. Number one, under the 173, customers won't be able to choose their electric supplier. That's a big deal in Ohio. In Ohio in 1999, the General Assembly said you have a right to choose your electric supplier. So under HB 173, you don't have that choice. Your middleman or NEP chooses a supplier for you. Also in 173, you get reduced access to PUCO supervised payment plans and financial assistance. And, nowadays with an affordability crisis in the state, that's a really important protection that would be lost under 173. Also under 173, you have fewer protections when you have billing disputes or shutoffs or complaints about unreasonable practices. Another thing, and certainly something that we think about, is you're going to lose your representation before the PUCO by the Office of Consumers Counsel. Office of Consumers Counsel represents residential consumers of a public utility. If you're not a public utility, we have been told we cannot represent you. So you lose that, you lose out on our advocacy. Also, and I don't want to go on and on, but disconnection protections, there's weaker shutoff protections and winter heating safeguards. There's less scrutiny of fees, even though they're the rate cap, there's less scrutiny of fees, the charges and the markups. And finally, there's fewer tools to hold submetering submetering companies accountable. Under full public utility regulation, you're subject to audits, reports, reporting requirements, transparency, a whole host of things that are geared toward protecting consumers and providing transparency. So in response to value, what value Ohio consumers want is fairness, transparency, and accountability. And that comes from strong utility protections, not light regulation like HB 173.
Teresa, we are running out of time. I wish we had more, but in just about 20 seconds, what impact will this have on the industry? I mean, what can tenants expect from all this if they're submetered?
Yes. So we don't know. Again, the order was very specific to one entity, NEP, and not the entire industry. I do take issue with Maureen saying it's light regulation. Actually, anybody who's filed a complaint at the commission knows it goes forever. 173 requires a 60-day resolution. It actually caps those fees and bills. It has strong penalties that implement immediately because renters move. They shouldn't have to wait years. The OCC does not actually deal with individual complaints at the commission, but would be able to get involved into the compliance plans and any removal of a business from being able to operate in the state. Last thing, the court didn't say electric distribution company. They said electric light company. Those are CREST providers. Those are brokers, and their rates are not regulated by the PUCO.
Well, I've been talking with Ohio's Consumers Council and Agency Director Maureen Willis, Witt Sturdivant LLP Managing Partner Mark Witt, and Bloom Advisory Partners Co-Owner and Regulatory and Policy Lead Teresa Ringenbach. Thank you all so much for your time today and for this conversation. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.